If you've never done an online qualifier before, you don't realize how stressful the warming up, setting up a camera, making sure that you're in view, making sure the clock is in view, making sure you have it on airplane mode. Oh my gosh, my battery. Oh my gosh, I got a clear storage.
Yes.
Based on the outline you've designed, and assuming this is just regular everyday person, like a Saturday is probably a great time to maybe throw that in. Like, all right, we're going to hit some intensity. You train Friday AM, Friday PM. We're going to hit some intensity now, and you're going to approach it just like a quarterfinals workout in the sense that you have to go through every single step. Can have that person not get to quarterfinals and feel like a deer in headlights, or like have the panic button go off.
The fitness movement is brought to you by Zor Fitness. We offer coaching and individualized program design, as well as educational content for coaches and athletes. It's all at one place, zorfitness.com. Welcome, everyone. Today, we're going to be talking about how to prep for CrossFit quarterfinals. We got Coach Chris here, and basically, we're going to go over some ways that CrossFit quarterfinals historically has differed from the Open, what we think it might look like now that things are a little bit different this year with it combining age groups, doing the exact same body of test as the individuals, which was not always the case. So obviously weights and things could get shifted as we get up into the higher age groups or down into the lower teen divisions. However, my guess would be that the majority of the testing body from like a 17-year-old to a 54-year-old are doing the same tests, which has got some important implications to it. Not that we're going to dwell on those a lot, but that's an important background. So if you don't have that kind of baseline understanding of the structure of the season, probably should go look at the rule book or some other resources like Morning Chalk Up to figure out what's going on there. But we're not going to cover all that stuff today. We're kind of going to get right into the meat and potatoes of like the training side of things. So I think one first, maybe important point, and I'll let you touch on this, Chris, is like maybe a good kind of concept to think about is that quarterfinals is like a broadening of the tests from the Open, whereas like the Open is pretty basic, pretty straightforward. Now, quarterfinals, obviously, we're going to be able to get expanded a little bit from that. How do you think about that as a coach? Like, how do you conceptualize like how the testing body shifts for Open to quarters?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think from a training perspective, and maybe this is getting into the weeds a little too much, but I'm sure you agree with me, is like, all right, let's look at the athlete first, right? If you have someone who the goal is to make it to the quarterfinals, but there's someone who's like barely going to make the cut line, you know, leading into the Open, you know, this training is probably super tailored to what you're most likely going to see in the Open, right? Like, probably doing a lot of endurance work, a lot of like high turnover, conditioning Metcons, you know, burpees, box jumps, you know, light to moderate the barbell, you know, to kind of prep for, because the Open traditionally is essentially just like a capacity test, yes, right? And so low barrier to entry, and in terms of the season, like that makes sense for to me in terms of what they want the Open to be. Like if you want everyone to participate, you kind of have to make it so everyone can participate. And then you start to weed people out in quarterfinals. So, you know, if I have someone who's barely going to make the cut line, like I'm really honing in on that stuff leading into the Open. And then post-Open, it's like, okay, here's some of the movements we traditionally see. Let's see if we can get better at these.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, if you have an athlete, Ben, like, who's not good at rope climbs, and we're 95% going to see at least a rope climb in quarterfinals, it's like, all right, let's hit some skill work so that when you get into the workout, you're able to maybe do some. But there's no point in trying to build, quote, capacity in that because your capacity is going to be limited by your skill in that movement.
Yeah, that's definitely the case for certain individuals. It's like, okay, if you want to have your best score on a test, which is always the goal, it's like if the proficiency in a movement is low enough, it's like you just need to be doing skill work of that thing and then, you know, hope it holds together basically when you go to actually do a test of it because you haven't built enough maybe efficiency in the movement or just like your level of competency in the movement isn't high enough that allows you to actually like race it and like put it towards like put it into like regular training. Like it wouldn't make sense just to like, okay, you're not good at rope climbs. Let's just throw them into Metcons all the time. That's, you're not going to get better at rope climbs.
Right.
But likewise, if you only are doing it in skill settings, you're just going to be limited in how much you can actually train it going into the event. So obviously some people are going to be set up for this better than others, where if you're someone who you're just lacking some of the fundamental movements that are going to be super important, or maybe like they're just really not refined or you haven't built enough volume where they're tolerant, then it's just going to be, it's going to put the coach in more of a tricky situation where they're just going to have to be realistic about how much they can actually get you ready for. Whereas if you're someone who is a higher level athlete and you've had all of those movements for years, it's like now you're just learning and thinking about how to train different aspects of those movements to elevate all of the capacities within those as high as you possibly can.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point right there. So like if we were to contrast to the other side of the spectrum, right? Someone who's definitely going to make quarterfinals, and maybe let's not even go all the way to Gaten's level, right? But let's go to someone who's like a fringe semifinal athlete. So it's like, you're a really frigging good CrossFitter. You're probably touching on all these quote unquote quarterfinal movements throughout the year, right?
Yeah.
So maybe leading into the open, you tailor it a little bit to like open-y things, but you're still going to be touching on the other stuff. And then leading into quarterfinals, maybe you're really probably honing in on capacity for those things, you know, and then deloading into the quarterfinals, I should say. So it's a little bit different, but yeah, you're really broadening the things you're going to see and kind of tailoring it to what you think the quarterfinals is going to be. Because where I said the open is broad and inclusive, and it's supposed to be, quarterfinals very much isn't, right? Like, to me, with the way the season is structured now, if you're a high-level CrossFitter, that's truly when the season starts, is quarterfinals. Because even the time commitment, and we might get into this a little bit later, I think we do actually, it's like, if I'm a recreational CrossFitter, or I do this for my fitness, and it's like, I'm going to qualify for quarterfinals because I think it's fun, like, I probably got to take off 3-4 days of work, like, to do quarterfinals. Like, that's, so it's truly when the season starts. But yes, if I'm someone who is like a shoo-in in the open and it's not even, it's like an afterthought, you're really kind of, you know, touching on all these movements, maybe honing in on open-y stuff just to really get the engine humming, and then really gearing in for quote unquote quarterfinal type of movements for like 3 weeks, maybe leading into a deload.
Mm. Yeah. One of the things that might be important during that time, and again, ideally this has started probably at least 2-3 months ago, in terms of like basically doing preparatory training that is preparatory for actual competition prep. So prepping for the prep. So, but that's how you have to think as like a coach. Like, that's our job, is to like work backwards. Okay, you're competing in April in quarterfinals. Let's back up. Okay, that means that we need to be in like full competition prep mode with like lower volume and higher intensities during the entirety of March. Which, if we back up again, that means that we need to be ready to handle that type of training in February. So we need to be doing, you know, training in December and January. That's going to prep you for the preparatory phase before the actual competition prep. So there is definitely can be a lot of layers to it. For most people, they're at the point where like, hey, I qualified, or, you know, either that or they're like a more serious athlete. And it's usually one or the other. It's like, I fully expected to make it through. I'm at to the point now where I can begin to like really kind of hone in, like fine tune some of these like finer points of technique and like finer points of energy systems, things like that, versus the other type of athlete who's like, hey, I made it through. All right. Trying to just kind of like organize my training and figure it out a little bit.
Right.
So either way, I would say like, if you were the athlete, I mean, just recognize who you are, right? If you're someone who's obviously serious, you understand that you're taking it seriously. If you're someone who's coming to it and you're like, hey, I'm super pumped that I qualified, now what? Yeah, just like, I would say like, find somebody that you can like enlist the help of, whether that's like a coach at your affiliate or someone you respect, whether it's, you know, somebody like us. Yeah, that'll be hugely helpful, because unless your job is to figure this out for people, like what we do, help people like organize this type of training, then it's like, it is challenging. So
yeah,
there's a lot of moving pieces to it. And I think just, you need to be like kind of respectful of that as you enter into it. But one of the things I would like, again, my point being like, there's specific movements that historically from what we've seen at quarterfinals, you're going to need to be a lot more tolerant of specific movements and specific patterns. For example, like the first quarterfinals, there was that rope climb GHD pistol one just destroyed everybody's core and hip flexors.
Shot.
So like that's a very specific pattern. You know, that core compression is also tested last year with like the rowing GHD, rowing V-ups workout. And again, same thing. It was very much so limited by like core compression ability. So there are going to be now in this more narrowed testing body or you can be more narrow with the testing body because you have more tests available to it that it allows you to test like, yes, more specific quality like that. So one of the things that I think about is just like, I need to be able to prepare my athletes for like a specific bottleneck within the workout. Not that they're all going to be that way, but chances are you're going to get at least one or two that are bottlenecked like that.
Yeah, for sure. Especially because like with the way Boz generally programs, and I think he's still the one programming, right? Or is it kind of a collaboration?
They've definitely not disclosed that. I mean, I would say like Dave, I'm sure has a hand in it. I don't know how much he actually does, I'm not sure, but it's anywhere from like 50-50 to Bosman just writing it and then like Dave taking a look. But I would doubt that it would be anything less than collaborative at this point.
Okay. Yeah. Then maybe we don't go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. And that's speculation.
Right. Because in the past when it was like, all right, Boz was writing it, his style of programming was very much like, all right, the crux of this workout is this, right? Like if you suck at this movement, like you're just not going to do well in this workout. But I think, like you said in the past, there's just been certain movements we've seen at this level of competition. And it's something that they, I think, whether they're intentionally sending the message or not, CrossFit is kind of sending the message that it's like, you know, there's barriers of entry, right? Like for quarterfinals, the barrier of entry is like, you have to be able to do the basic movements and do them at a high capacity. If you can't do those things, you don't get to play at the next level. You know, for quarterfinals, it's more of like, okay, hey, you know, we've had a max in each of the first 2 years. I'm sure we'll see some sort of max, but so much of it is like higher skill gymnastics, moderate level barbells. Like you had a high paced workout that 1 year that was like snatches and box jump overs, high box jump overs, but the snatches were like 185. And so like your ability to cycle that pretty quickly. And so it's like, okay, these movements are prerequisites to play at the next level. So things like rope climbs, GHDs, handstand walks, pistols, muscle ups, those are all kind of movements you generally see at the next level. And I'm sure there will be some you don't see, general qualities that you'll see there that it's like, all right, you got to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for example, I think maybe a good contrast would be like last year we saw muscle ups in two different workouts, but the workouts were limited in different things. It wasn't like the muscle up was like the test and it was that just twice. It was, well, no, the first one was a ring muscle up test and it was way more about pressing ability because he had wall facing handstand pushups after that. And the other one, it was like bar muscle ups. And really that was just like fatiguing everybody to get to a bunch of rope climbs at the very end. So it was like way more geared towards pulling capacity. So,
right. And
that's what I mean is like, you're going to see certain things that it's like, we're not just testing a specific movement. We're testing the athletes who we want to get to a semifinal to have these particular qualities to them. Like, are you going to be good on your hands? Okay. There's a number of different ways that we could test that, but like you want a semifinals athlete getting through who is going to be able to do all the stuff in Inverta that they need to be able to do. And that's obviously a tall task if you're only having, like for example, we've only ever seen like five tests in this, and I don't know if that's going to be the case again. I would imagine it is, but yeah, just understanding that the open was like the goal was for community for it to be about like inclusivity. And now it's like we are now testing athletes who were want to actually be able to go through to the semifinal, which like those two things are just completely different ballparks. So there's going to be some people who are just going to be excluded from the testing body. And that's fine and actually necessary to create enough separation for us to see who should actually deserve to go to a semi, or I'm saying we, but CrossFit to see who's actually going to a semi, who should be going to a semifinal and who should not be going because they don't have the necessary skills and capacity.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this is a whole nother topic in and of itself. So again, we don't have to dive down a different rabbit hole, but personally, I think the way they've structured the season, although some might see it, parts of it is like a money grab. So like, you know, frankly, and I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but extending the cut line from 10% to 25%, in my opinion, is like kind of like a money grab, because the people at the 25% line are just not going to be able to do the skills in the quarterfinals. It's like, not only that, but it's like, if I just made it and I'm an accountant, like, am I really going to be doing what's needed at quarterfinals, right? But at the same time, you know, for a lot of those folks, it's like, okay, I get it, right? I'm not going to semifinals, but it continues to do, and it's part of why we love CrossFit. It continues to set a new bar for people to achieve some sort of goal, right? So it's like, all right, get to quarterfinals. Cool, I did that. All right, I was exposed because I can't do this skill. And we as human beings, it's like, for example, I might know I can't do ring muscle ups, but I just skip my ring muscle up drills so often because I hate doing it. And then I get exposed. And then it's like, oh crap, I should probably do these then, right? So I think it's cool the way that it gets structured with that, but you're right. It's like, okay, we need to be able to weed out, you know, the necessary people, the people who are the fittest being able to get to semifinals, especially because the pool of talent gets deeper every single year.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, the tests matter more because the depth of field gets better, but then also they took it and whittled down the semifinals field so that, you know, in certain regions, there's only 2/3 of the people going through. So the testing body matters even more. Because there was, certain games athletes who wouldn't even made to the games because they weren't in the top 40 last year at a semifinal in their particular region. So it's going to matter. That doesn't really impact us as coaches a whole lot. But again, I would say, like, here, how I would think about it is like, okay, if you're the athlete who, again, you're a little bit more recreational in how you approach things and you're a little bit lower in your level of development, it's like you just need to be touching up on all the skills and keep them as skills. Like, don't try to do them in fatigued environments all the time. And then make sure your capacity work is actually capacity work where it isn't really limited by a particular skill. Like, do metcons that allow you to really open up the throttle as to keep it like as simple as you possibly can. Obviously there's a lot of layers to it, but I think that's a good rule of thumb. And then if you're someone who's at a higher level, which we can probably go into a little bit more here, I would say like you should have this bigger base already established and you should be using the open as a runway to kind of get yourself up to speed where now it's more about, again, sort of fine tuning things to be as crisp as possible and feeling as good as you possibly can when you actually make the semifinal, which obviously is like, first you need to be able to stay healthy as you go through your training. So you have to like manage all the fatigue and other stuff, which might be like doing like more accessories and that type of thing. But then it's like overall, I've kind of defined this as like, just you want to tune your system for high output across the board, whether that's something like a one rep max or something that is energy systems at a maximal capacity extended out to maybe in the 20 to 25 minute range.
Great example is like, maybe let's say you have a high level athlete, and Ben, you could confirm or deny this, right? Like throughout the course of the year, you're probably doing like long duration, easy aerobic work to kind of build an aerobic base, right? As you get closer to quarterfinals, those conditioning pieces, maybe going from a 60 minute piece of cardio at 60 to 70%, maybe that session now instead of that is like a 25 to 30 minute, let's call it 30 minute conditioning piece, but more sports specific, right? So you may still be kind of dictating what goes into the movements involved as well as the intensity percentage that you want in that workout. But now that workout actually becomes more sport specific because you could see a half hour long workout in the quarterfinals, right? And so everything's got to kind of get geared towards that. Plus you might also have strength work where it's like, maybe you're doing percentage work a lot leading up to the year with touches on heavy singles and stuff like that. But now it's like, okay, no, we need to touch on 85%+ fairly frequently. And maybe the volume will start to come down, which kind of can mitigate fatigue, but prime your CNS to hit a heavy lift.
Yeah, I think that's right on. And that's generally how I think about it. Like, I'm going to be doing a lot more, like, again, what you were kind of describing is like base building work for like, you know, people's aerobic capacity. And just like, that's going to impact everything from ability to recover in between workouts to recovering through intervals to, you know, doing really well in a workout. Like we saw last week in the open with 24.2 with like the, like 300 meter rowing repeats, things like that. But then as you actually get towards the season, it's going to look a whole lot more like pieces like that 24.2. I think that would be like an excellent like training piece for a lot of people.
Oh yeah.
Like that's a great example of like, this is very much so like aerobic capacity still. Like that, yes. That's like the thing we're going after. However, you're doing it in a way that is like, there wasn't like a crazy amount of like, again, for like highly trained people, there wasn't a crazy amount of eccentrics. Like, you know, they're not going to get super tired or like super sore from, you know, 400 or 500 double unders. They're not going to get crazy beat up from 880 to like 100 deadlifts that are lightweight for most people. So, I think then it's like, you can take all those things that you were doing in the off season and then you're going to pull out, it's actually less volume to do 20 to 30 minutes, let's call it, at a hard pace. Less total work is actually going into there than like, you know, a 60 to 75 minute like zone two piece, for example.
Right.
Total contractions is less. Obviously, intensity is higher. But what that allows for is for you to then pour some of those resources somewhere else into your week and hopefully be feeling better where you can hit things at a higher output in other places in your week where maybe you wouldn't be able to do that if you were like sustaining that high of training volume. So I think it would be wise for people, if they have been doing zone work, start to pull that out as you get into this, like, you know, maybe the 3 weeks to a month before quarterfinals. That'd be my recommendation at least.
Yeah. Cause you have to be able to touch on the extremes of what you're going to see in the testing body. Right. And so it's like, okay, I have to be able to, you know, hit a max front squat if I have to, or a max clean if I have to. And, you know, you're building on that stuff throughout the year and you're probably touching on it throughout the year. If you have good coaching, like you've touched on it, you know, you're not going to touch a heavy single for the first time now, right? You've probably touched it at some point. But the percentage breakdown looks way different, right? Like 3 weeks out from quarterfinals, 2 weeks out from quarterfinals, you know, instead of hitting 10 sets of cleans at 75%, you might be hitting 5 at like 80 to 90, right? And it's just kind of honing it in and lessening that fatigue so that when you hit game day, you feel good and you're ready to rock it.
Yeah. Like a good example would be like, okay, we had an off season, maybe it was like, I don't know, 9 snatch doubles at 75%. And it's like, that was it. And right. Like, and maybe they do like snatch pulls or something, but like very like straightforward, just like a lot of working sets. Whereas like now maybe it's like, you know, 12 minutes to build to a heavy single or something, right? Not that you can't do percentage work, but the instances of that is going to come down a lot. And it's like more so like if you give someone percentage work, it's like, let's just keep a little bit of a lower intensity touch on something to like maintain your technique of that thing. And so like something like a jerk or a snatch that's a little bit more technical is going to like lend itself well to that. And then especially things like front squats or deadlifts where it is like pretty neurologically taxing, it's like really pull back the volume in those things. So it might be like, you know, build to a heavy double in 10 minutes and then let's go into some like, so like maybe it's like build a heavy front squat double in 10 minutes and then let's do this like, you know, squat clean double under bar muscle up piece that's like high turnover.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. And then the last thing we kind of talked about off air was, you know, not something you could train, right? But it's something you absolutely just have to be prepared for because it is something vastly different, especially if you're new to quarterfinals. This is a condensed testing schedule. So, you know, maybe you could speak to kind of how you prepare your athletes for that.
Yeah. Again, I think about this differently for different athletes. Specific to like how much they're normally training in a week. If I got somebody and they're doing 10 to 12 sessions in a week and they're a pretty high level athlete, like a semifinal level or semifinal bubble athlete, somewhere in that range where they're going to be like the upper quartile of quarterfinals athletes, then it's like they're already training a lot. So they're more or less ready to go at almost any point, right? Besides just like being tired from like doing their other training, they're used to having many high output bouts throughout the course of a week. So the fact that something like a quarterfinals isn't going to be anything new to them, right? So like that to their system is not a shock, right? The intensity especially if they're not prepared well, could be a shock. However, just doing that amount of work in those amount of sessions is not. Whereas I have other people that I coach, and I know Chris is in the same boat, where like they have a lot of outside, you know, they have priorities outside of CrossFit, which is most people listening to this. And it's like, for those people, they're not doing double sessions every day, right? Like a lot of people, they get like one session in a day and it's like 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours, and that's it. And they go home. So for those people, potentially like starting to like either A, just like, okay, is there at least one spot in your week where we can do a double session? And then maybe it's like, ideally it would be like an AM, PM, AM, for example, where it's like you're taking those sessions and you're condensing the time frame that you're actually doing them. So for example, I have some people who like, okay, let's get you in on like a Thursday was like your recovery day. Let's get you in on a Friday AM and a Friday PM, which is like, you don't normally do that, but let's make sure we do that and at least touch some sort of intensity in both those sessions. And then you'll come into the gym on Saturday again, and let's give you another bout of intensity there. And then Sunday's a nice long break for you to recover and rest so that you're actually fresh again. So it still allows for that condensed training schedule, which is going to like be important for like, you know, just like managing like your energy throughout like a weekend, like quarterfinals, where it's like really high output and you have to be able to like relax and come down from that and do it again. So like managing your stress levels, your stress hormones as you go through a process like that, doing that in training is like, I think, a very helpful first step for someone who doesn't do that frequently.
Yeah. That's something I've also told athletes who are maybe newer to the videoing process. Right? Like if you've never done an online qualifier before, you don't realize how stressful the warming up, setting up a camera, making sure that you're in view, making sure the clock is in view, making sure you have it on airplane mode. Oh my gosh, my battery. Oh my gosh, I got a clear storage.
Yes. You know,
it is the absolute worst when you get set up and you're like, gosh, darn it. If I film, like, you have to clear your storage and you got to go in and get rid of pictures and stuff like that. But, you know, based on the outline you've designed, and assuming this is just regular everyday person, like a Saturday is probably a great time to maybe throw that in. Like, all right, we're going to hit some intensity. You train Friday AM, Friday PM. We're going to hit some intensity now. And you're going to approach it just like a quarterfinals workout in the sense that you have to go through every single step. Can have that person not get to quarterfinals and feel like a deer in headlights, or like have the panic button go off.
Yeah. And this has been my intention forever. And I think you've been in the same boat. Is like for the name game, which is most of the time on Saturday for people, it's like that one time in the week where it's like, hey, you're treating this like you're competing. Right. So like everything that you would normally do for a competition, you're going to do on this for this workout. So it's like, you should be filming those throughout the year. And certainly at this point, if people, you know, haven't been doing that, I would start, like, if you're one of our athletes and you're listening to this, start that process.
Yeah.
And that's something where like I've maybe relaxed personally on that a little bit, but I was like very, very diligent about like, I would film every single name game. I uploaded to YouTube and I like posted it on the website. I did that every week for a year, pretty much. It was like, basically now when I like go to do the film process, or like, you know, just go to get like a floor layout and like know how to film things, it's like that process is just so much less stressful to me. It's just like going through like what I do, right?
Yep.
So I think that is a very important thing for people to start to practice, is like, okay, if this were to come out, and like even if we're not coaching you, or you know, you have a coach, and it's like, just look at a workout that your coach gives you and be like, okay, what would be like I would think about it two ways. It's like, one, if they don't give me a floor plan, how could I optimize this the best I possibly could? And then two, like, if they were to put this in a floor plan, how might they do this? Like, okay, I'm probably going to have my rower facing the screen this way. Okay, I'm probably going to have to be toggled to this screen. Okay, maybe I have to be at least have my rower at least 8 feet away from my pull-up bar. Things that they've typically done, where if nothing else, you're at least thinking through what that process should begin to like look like.
Yeah. And it's important to do that, because like you said, you don't realize how stressful it can be to try to figure that out if you've never done it. It's like anything, right? Like if you don't have any reps in doing the thing, you're not going to be confident when you're called on to do the thing. And so, you know, everyone has gone to do a workout that they've had to film, and it's like, oh my gosh, the camera fell down, or like it didn't work, right? You don't want to have that happen during quarterfinals, right? It's way easier to do a Saturday workout and be like, oh man, I didn't put on an airplane mode. What a dumb move to do. But if you've done it, if this ever happened to you before, you remember never to do it again. Yep. And so it's like, cool. this was low stakes because it was training session. I'm now prepared and I'm ready to go. So yeah, I'm in total agreement that if you're one of our athletes and you're not doing that, you know, kind of talking about what you can do leading up to quarterfinals over the next couple of weeks, that's 100% something you should do.
Yeah. Low hanging fruit that would have immediately good carryover. Yeah. And there's other things like that too. It's like, again, if nothing else, it's just taking an extra 2 minutes where you normally like you'd rush through like your rehearsal to like, oh, let's get this workout started. And you kind of like rush around and get into it quick versus like taking an extra minute or two to like calm yourself back down to like get in the right headspace of like, okay, reminding yourself, okay, this is my pacing plan. These are all like the things I'm trying to focus on throughout the workout. Try to like take a few deep breaths and like really like try to put your all into like a piece that's supposed to be like a high effort piece. So mm-hmm. like really like when something is supposed to be, okay, this is a testing piece or this is a very important training piece throughout the week, it's like I'm going to make extra sure that I'm doing checking off all the boxes I can to make ensure that this is the best effort that I can give on this particular day.
Yeah.
And if you do that leading up into your training and make sure that, okay, I've got all my positions ready, I know that like where I'm supposed to be breaking, I have a strategy for this workout. If you do that multiple times, it's no different than video review where you are now going to have just a way more optimized flow and how you actually go to think about and prepare for it, execute on and workouts that are very similar to quarterfinals tests.
For sure.
That's some pretty good word salad, I think. We can maybe end it there.
A delicious word salad, some would say.
That's one of my specialties. Word salad.
A word salad?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, there you have it. Again, if you're someone who doesn't have a coach, we both coach.
How dare you?
I'm just throwing it out there in case people didn't know. We do coach people. It's what we do for a living, so hire us. If you want to win, that is.
If not, stay a loser.
Yeah, if not, that's okay. Well, let us know if you got questions. You can shoot us a DM on Instagram at Zor Fitness. If you got another topic that you'd like. Other than that, see you next time.
See ya, buddy.
Thanks for listening today. If you're someone who just started listening to the show, I would encourage you to subscribe so you can stay up to date. If you're someone who's been listening for a while, I would encourage you to rate and review the show. And lastly, the best thing that you can do to support our work is also the best thing that you can do for your performance. And that is by hiring one of our coaches. Until next time, stay the course.